Let us pray. O God, who came as a baby when we were expecting a king, who called us to be last when we were expecting to be first, who welcomed a child when we thought grown-ups were more important, who rose to new life when we thought death had the last word, surprise us again this day with what you have to say to us. Amen.
Our first reading is from the book of Prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Listen for the word of God. A shoot shall come out from the stumps of Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or dedicate by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equality for the meek and the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness be the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young should lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, the nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall play his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So ends the reading.
Our second reading comes from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. Listen again for God's word. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples to say to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when Jesus was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all, and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know how when you see someone you haven't seen for a while, you go through this greeting ritual. How you doing? How's your husband, wife, spouse, partner, dog, whoever? And if you know that they're a parent or a grandparent, you dutifully ask, "How are the kids?" Well, today I invite us all to think about that question. How are the kids? The children of our church and all churches and synagogues and temples and mosques, and of our school and all schools, of our world. I mean, y'all see the news. You know that there are plenty of children not doing so great. Immigrant children, refugee children, children at risk from gun violence, from neglect, abuse, poverty, children in our world and nation and city. One day I was on the subway and a panhandler got on. A guy in his 30s, nothing unusual about that. The most visible among our city's homeless population are adult and male, and alone. But this man was accompanied by three young boys who looked a lot like him. Over the din of the train, he explained that he and his sons were living in a city shelter, that he worked odd jobs when he could, but that he still needed money to feed his family. What did make it unusual is that though there are over 20,000 children living in our city shelters, most homeless families are headed by a single parent mother. But there he was, this man and his three sons, the oldest maybe 10 or 11, the youngest about 6. The father had a guitar, and the oldest boy plunked himself down on the subway floor and pulled a set of small bongo drums from a plastic bag, and the four of them began to literally sing for their supper. Now, I don't know what I expected them to sing, but it certainly wasn't the Beatles, "When I'm 64. The whole family belted it out, "When I get older, losing my hair many years from now." When they were done, the youngest boy asked, "Dad, can we sing Rocky Raccoon next?" Those boys knew their Beatles. How are the kids? The disciples weren't paying any attention to the probably unruly children who were tagging along. The grown-ups were too busy fighting among themselves about who was the greatest. And when Jesus asks what they're arguing about, they clam up, no doubt looking around innocently like, "What? Me argue? Wasn't me. It was Peter." But Jesus, he doesn't call them out. He doesn't say, "Who is the greatest? You're looking at him." He does, however, quickly turn the whole idea of greatness upside down. He says, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and a servant to all." And then, for Jesus often spoke as loudly with his actions as with his words, then he shows the disciples just what he means. For he's noticed those children, and he reaches out, and he brings one of them into the circle of adults surrounding him, and he says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." God, that is. Could you, for the rest of the sermon, not? Thank you. So he says, "Not welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." So the disciples bicker about being great. Jesus points them to a child. And he shows them about reaching out, about drawing closer to the sacred by embracing not the greatest among them, whoever that is, but a little kid. Huh. Now, we learn from the Bible that children in Jesus' day were much like children in our day. We see them loved and treasured and healed, and we see them in danger. Ignored, sick, hungry, demon-possessed, dying. So if it is the last who shall be first, the least in the world's eyes who shall be greatest in God's eyes, who is more least than a child? More vulnerable, more dependent, more at risk. Even the most well-cared-for children are so helpless. Their bones are so soft, their flesh is so tender, they're so small, so trusting. Even the most pampered child lives in jeopardy. What if greatness means enacting radical love for the littlest and last, the ones outside the circle, the small ones, the helpless ones, the ones who are like children, yes, but perhaps real, actual children most of all, and putting them first? Jesus calls us to reach beyond our inner circles, beyond our sanctuary and our school walls, and embrace the child who stands outside, the child who is hungry, lost, fearful, the child in need. And you don't have to be a Christian to feel that calling. All people of faith, even simply faith in humanity, we all know the truth of Gandhi's words: if we are ever to have real peace in this world, we shall have to begin with the children. Children are not only our future, they are our present. And in the words of that esteemed theologian, Dr. Seuss, and I refer here to that learned treatise, Horton Hears a Who, perhaps you know it, "A person's a person, no matter how small." Imagine how sad we bigger people would be, and how boring and hopeless our world would be without our small people. And that subway serenade runs through my head. Those cheerful little boys singing, "Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? But I've been thinking that we aren't doing a very good job of feeding those boys now, or of giving them any sign that we need them now. And yeah, I'm a cynical New Yorker, and I know that cute little boys tug at the heartstrings and wallets more than a single man by himself. But I saw that family. I saw the love between them. So I've been thinking, too, about that father, determined to keep his family together, safe and sound, who taught his children to sing and make a joyful noise. At the Alexander Robertson School and the Second Presbyterian Church, we want to teach our children well. Our sweet little kindergartners, our trusting and surprising early grade schoolers, our shy and boisterous tweens, and even our prickly teenagers. We've got a couple. We want to welcome and care for them with the help of gifted teachers. We want them to grow up strong and healthy, confident and beloved. I trust we want that for all our children. I know there are so many urgent problems in our world, and we have limited resources and limited time and energy. It can seem overwhelming. So I take heart when I remember the words of Jesus: "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." One such child. Though he never said we have to stop at one. And so I've been imagining, what if we welcomed children, church family member or not, ARS student or not, Christian or not? What if we embraced the least and last and littlest by leaving the building? Now don't freak out, church, not forever, just every now and then. Leaving to serve them, hands on, wherever they are. Partnering maybe with other churches or schools or communities. What would that look like? I don't know. But I think it might be great. On this wonderful celebratory day in the life of the Second Presbyterian Church and the Alexander Robertson School, I ask again, how are the kids? How are the children of all of our houses of worship and all of our schools and all of our communities and all of the world? And how will we serve them? One such child. Then maybe two. Maybe 10, and maybe 110, then in the name of Christ, in the name of love, who knows what we can accomplish? To God alone be the glory. Amen.